Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. In a celebrity-drenched culture, it is refreshing to encounter authentic individuals whose fame is well-deserved. Our guest, Gay Talese, is such a person. Mr. Talese describes himself as a fastidious exponent of nonfiction and his work as storytelling. Having chronicled the life of America and her people for decades, Mr. Talese compares the nation to journalism, full of choices, often best understood from frequently overlooked viewpoints.
Writing is a way of seeing. Reporting is a way of seeing. I made reference today to reporting or editing as a way of negating, of not publishing a picture. When you read your daily newspaper or your weekly magazine or whatever you read, Internet would be the same. What you're seeing isn't what's there necessarily. It's what someone said is there. It's what someone believes is relevant. It's what someone thinks will sell newspapers or sell a program. It is very subjective.
Gay Talese is among America's premier journalists. He's written almost a dozen books, including Honor Thy Father, Thy Neighbor's Wife, and The Kingdom and the Power about the New York Times, for which he wrote for a decade. His remarkably inventive memoir he calls A Writer's Life. He's also written for Esquire, The New Yorker, Harper's, and other national magazines. Way back in 1995, when we were creating this series, Bill Russell and I had Gay Talese on our short list for potential people at the leading edge. So making this conversation a reality was delicious. Gay Talese, I am fascinated by the human animal and a person who I hold in very high regard as a keen observer of us. Said to us in conversation years ago, necessity is often said to be the mother of invention, and it's not true. It is invention that is the mother of necessity. And as I read your wonderful life, call it a memoir, call it what you will, I had the sense that we were looking at necessity driving invention. Did it feel that way through that arduous process?
Oh, that arduous process was completed when I approached the age of 74, which I still am, incidentally. But I have, since the age of 24, been doing pretty much the same thing, which is storytelling. It is a reflection of history, but the people I write about, and this is true when I was a young man to the person you have on your show today, I'm writing about people that historians tend to ignore. What I try to do, and what I've always done since I was old enough to type, which is like 15, was to tell stories. I am a reader of fiction. I read from the time I was in high school some of the not-so-good novelists, and as I became educated at the University of Alabama, I then became introduced to the Southern novelists, most principally the novelist of renown and Nobel Prizedom, William Faulkner. And then I moved to New York. I moved in 1953. I graduated Alabama University in 1953 and had the good fortune to meet a young man, a classmate, who was related to the Mississippi-born managing editor at that time of the New York Times, a man named Turner Catledge. And this nephew of his that was a classmate said, if you ever get to New York, look up Turner Catledge. And I did. I did. Brazenly walked into the Times building without an appointment during the early summer of 53, following my June graduation in Tuscaloosa. And I certainly didn't get to see Turner Catledge right away, but an appointment was made for me, and I returned and was able to shake hands with the great man and be told by the great man that you're not ready for the New York Times now, but maybe we'll get an office boy job for you if one should turn up. We'll let you know. And weeks later, I actually live in Ocean City, New Jersey, but I was called there, or my mother was. Ocean City, New Jersey is about 20 miles south of Atlantic City. And the call was from Turner Catledge's office, and would you like to have an office boy job? And I did, and I began in August of 1953. And in my time, when I wasn't supposed to be doing what office boys were supposed to be doing, which is minding the office and doing things that no one else really wanted to do, they now glorify it. They call it an intern. intern.
That way it's gender neutral at least.
Oh boy, that's exalted terms. But I was filling paste pots and going out for coffee. But in my free time from this illustrious position, I was writing little stories of what I saw in the neighborhood in the Times Square. And some of them got in the paper, published.
Boy, that's intoxicating, isn't it?
But, you know, it's what you see is what you write, and what you write is who you are in a way, because what you see reflects your interest, and your interest is internal. And that's what I've been doing. And this book is all about that, too.
And as are all of your other books. What caught me as I read this whole story and rejoiced in it, in the elegance of your prose and your keen observation and all the things that everybody prizes in your writing, I started and kept coming back to this notion of the reporter as a foot soldier for the historian. And when we come back, I'm going to let Bill pick up from there. But this notion of the inextricable bond between those who are seeing it right now, as you did in Selma, as you have in all of those intervening 50 years, that duet, I think, is a really important one that we have forgotten as the media has changed, as the roles of those reporting to us what goes on have changed. And we will pursue more of that when we come back in a moment with Gay Talese on The Paula Gordon Show. Please do be with us when we return.